The difference between being young and old is our attitude. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Instant Illumination. The difference between being young and old is our attitude. When you're young and someone tells you off, you say, okay, and you go about your business, untouched, unworried. When you're old and someone tells you off, you say, no, don't you understand, I'm old and I know all these things and you can't tell me these things and you really shouldn't be telling me these things. I know more than you do. I'm 300 times more your age. What's the matter with you, you know? And see, when we get old, we begin to take the burden of the world on our shoulder, thinking that we're supposed to be responsible for all knowledge and all things, which we are, but not so that you can notice it. Pay attention. When you're young, oh, you get upset occasionally, but you get over it real quick. The younger you are, the quicker you get over it. If you're playing with your friends and your friend does something bad to you, and then you get angry at him and you're running and you tell your mother your friend did something bad to you, then your mother starts taking a part in this thing here, and by the time she gets her war party in action, you're out there making friends with your friend again, and you're playing together. You've forgotten all about it. Whatever it was that you did, didn't really matter. It could have been terrible. It could have been he stole your toy, or he called you bad names, or he did all sorts of things. It's real terrible when you get older. If someone steals your car, right away you say, oh my God, someone stole my car. It's terrible. I got to call the police. I got to do this, got to do that. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Did you act like a youngster? If you act like a youngster, you say, I'll get another one. No big deal. And the youngster says, hey, nobody can take anything that belongs to me. Whatever is mine is always mine. It comes back in the same condition it left. No problem whatsoever. And of course, we teach this too. We teach that you put a cause in motion, that you surround everything that you have with your pure white light of love, and it is done. Now, a number of years ago, we had a fire that came within inches of the property. In fact, it overlapped a little bit, and it was really a boomer. We had 40 fire people here on the property protecting the property. And when we left here to go on our junket, we surrounded the property with a pure white light of love, and all was in divine order. But we did it rather casually. And then when we got a telephone call, when we called here from St. Louis, or the, where was it? Down in Texas or New Orleans. New Orleans is where we were. And we called in, and they said, there's a big fire going on around here, really big, you know, really, really big. And I said, well, did you surround the place with your pure white light of love? You know, which they meant they didn't. And so I said, well, I surround the property with my pure white light of love, and all is in divine order right now. And the fire stopped at the edge of our property, cleaned it up very nicely all around the property, and got onto the property just a teensy-weensy little bit, nothing of any consequence. And the firemen were very effective, but I believe what was more effective was the statement, the prayer, I surround the property with my pure white light of love. Now, we oftentimes take a drive in the car, and I will drive in the car with my friends, and I will not say anything. I will not surround the car with my pure white light of love. I'll tell them, this is what we do. We always surround our car with the pure white light of love, and all our ways are peace, and all our paths are pleasantness, and the way is open before me. And I tell that to our friends. I tell it to the people I'm driving with, but they don't do it. They don't do it. And then all of a sudden, they start having little incidents, little problems that are coming up. And this happened in Africa. It happened in many other places around the United States. I don't ride with people very often. I'm usually driving, so the car is well insured. But the thing is, when I'm with people and they don't do that, little things happen, because I will not enter into their property unless it concerns me. I say, I surround me with my pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasant. So whatever happens to the car or anything else, that's another thing. But what happens to me is I'm always in perfect order. Now you say, oh, that's kind of selfish. No. The thing is, I'm in the business to train and teach and share. And so when I tell people, well, on campus, we always surround our car with a pure white light of love, and all our ways are peace, and all our paths are pleasantness. Before you start the engine of the car, you say that. Before you get your seatbelt buckled, you say that, or while you're buckling it. But the thing is, when you're putting the car in order, you surround it with your pure white light of love, and you know that all is in divine order. When you do that, you don't have any problems. When you don't do that, you got problems. Now, we've had 3 incidences with our cars here on campus, more than that, in fact. And I can assure you, they didn't say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love when they got in it. I can assure you that they didn't do that. And they knew that was the rule to do, but they didn't. They may have said it when they went out, but they didn't say it when they came back. Every time you get in the car, every time you say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love, every time you stop that car and you start going again, you're on a new journey. And he said, at every stoplight? Well, it wouldn't hurt. But at every store you stop at, when you get back in the car, you're a new journey. You say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love. And the more often you do it, the more often you live in that treasured, what would we say, in that magical condition of being surrounded by the pure white light of love. And all is in divine order. That's it. You're surrounded by the all is in divine order condition, which is pretty wonderful. Now, you see, you tell that to an older person. I've been driving for 40, 60, 80 years, and I never had an accident, you know, and I'm not going to say that sort of thing. Hey, that's okay. Never had an accident, huh? Well, that's real good. Now, I know that if you're driving a car for 40, 80 years, that you have had some little incidents that have taken place that have shook you up. And you may have even had an accident that you didn't report. And you may have had incidents you didn't report. But I'm not saying anything. I'm saying if you don't surround your car with your love, if you don't tell your car that you are the boss with your consciousness, then your car can be open to all sorts of things. Now, many people make this statement. I'm driving down the road, I surround my car with my pure white light of love, but I can't be in control of what all the other drivers are doing. That's exactly what you're in control of. All other drivers are held away from you. I come driving home on the freeway, and I'm going along with a nice open area, and then some car is slow going up in front of me. And I say, I surround myself with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace, my paths are pleasantness, and the way is open before me. And just at that moment, the guy pulls over to let me pass him. It happens 3, 6, 10 times. But as I remind myself of the condition, I might look at the car and say, oh, that slowpoke, he's driving under the limit, and he's taking the center part of the road, and I can't get through. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? You know? And when you say that, then you haven't surrounded yourself with the pure white light of love, and you haven't surrounded your car with all its ways of peace and paths of pleasant, and you haven't said that your way is open before you. You haven't said that. And you have said just the contrary. You have said just the contrary. And whenever you think that, even think it, you're in trouble. This morning, as I was with Rex, he all of a sudden saw something up on the mountainside here, and he dashed over there way ahead of me. And he was gone. He was gone. I was walking by. And I whistled for him and I called for him. And finally I said, hey, Rex, come. And then I just walked my way. Next thing you know, there he was walking beside me. Now, when you whistle and you call and you do all those things, when you put your mind to work calling him, it is much more effective and much more beneficial. But you see, when you're young, you do that all the time. You think, You're going to take your dog for a walk. He wants to walk with you. He enjoys being with you. You're having fun together, you see? Then the dog stays with you. The dog stays with the kids. And when you're older, you say, can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know? That's the old phrase. And so you're walking along, and the dog chases after something. You say, come here, get here, hop, hop. You know, you bark at him, shout at him, angry at him, and he doesn't know what you're angry about. All he knows is you want his attention, and he wasn't about to give that to you. So the minute you calm down and relax, then he'll come to you. Now, why do you say that the difference between being young and old is our attitude? Because that's just what it is. If we can develop in ourselves an attitude like children have, of love, of respect, of forgiveness, if you will, of not holding grudges, not being angry at another person for whatever they might have done, and just know that all is in divine order, that's cool, you know. That's an attitude that really gets you places. But if you have an attitude that you think that people are taking advantage of you, you know, we were talking to a lady the other day, and she says her friend who drives her around occasionally, when she gets behind the wheel, everybody on the road is rotten. Everybody on the road is terrible. Everybody on the road is trying to cut her off. Everybody on the road is trying to give her trouble. Well, I drove that lady the same route that this other lady would have driven, and the cars just opened up before us. We even got in the wrong lane and had to go over in the other lane. There was nothing there. We could go over there, you know, making a left turn. And it was just so perfect because we did nothing with anger. We did everything with a good attitude and with a very good attitude. And so doing that, we had a very nice time. The only difference between the young and the old is attitude. Now, what is your attitude? Are you a 60-year-old attitude, or are you an 80-year-old attitude, or are you a 100-year-old attitude, or are you a 10-year-old attitude, like, or maybe a 5-year-old attitude? I think if we could maintain a 5-year-old attitude, we'd be doing real great, wouldn't we? Wouldn't that be fun? A 5-year-old attitude. Wow. I see each one of you. 5-year-old attitude in your mature body. I love you. I love you. I love you.